Today is Wednesday. And as every family in the north end of Boston will tell you, Wednesday
is Money Life's Sell of the Week with Charles Rotblat, editor of the American Association of Individual Investors Journal.
You are quite the bear.
That's right. Every Wednesday, Charles Rotblat joins us to help us let go of those investments that are going the wrong way.
You idiots! Step back in there at once and sell!
Don't keep coming up short. Join us every Wednesday for Charles Rotblat on Money Life with Chuck Jaffe.
Well, you know what they say. Bulls make money, bears make money, pigs, they get slaughtered.
Indeed, that is what they say. It's why we want you to be a little bit bullish and why we bring you the buy of the week, which yesterday Charles Rotblat made W.R. Berkley, ticker symbol WRB, property and casualty insurance company, with not the biggest upside potential of anything he's talked about, but with low volatility, a nice upside potential. Today, of course, Charles is back to give us the sell of the week. And if you want to find out what he's doing when he's not here, you're going to follow him on Twitter. He is at Charles R-A-A-I-I on Twitter. Go to AAII.com for information on his journal and everything related to the American Association of Individual Investors. Charles Rotblat, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Our sell of the week is
Fluor Systems.
Okay, Fluor Systems, it's F-L-I-R. This one rings a bell with me. This is not the first time you've talked about this stock in this particular slot, is it?
It's not. I featured the stock as a sell of the week on February 24th of this year. I called for the stock to have up to a 20% decline. The stock's actually up a little bit since then, about 2%, but it has actually trailed the S&P 500 by a couple percentage points. So it didn't get the decline that I forecasted, but listeners would have been better off just buying a pure index fund than owning the stock.
So in other words, we could play this to signify your first pick of Fleer. Right? It didn't quite turn out as expected, except for the fact that, again, while you were calling for a big decline, even though that didn't happen, you had opportunity costs in that the stock lagged the S&P and didn't do particularly great. So is it just a case where you weren't wrong, you were just early, that's the point that we're making now?
I think so. This company, they're involved in making various things for security, surveillance systems, particularly thermal imaging systems, and they recently missed expectations. It's the third miss in a row, so they keep disappointing analyst expectations. The second quarter, they actually saw a drop in revenues, particularly sales to governments. But one of the things that was interesting was during the conference call, one of the executives said he blamed, and this is a quote, a number of orders planned for the first quarter shipment that we were not able to deliver. So in other words, they had some products they just could not get out of the door. They didn't really explain why. The analysts didn't really question them as to what happened. Some of those products did get shipped out in the third quarter. They didn't say all of them have been shipped out, but clearly there were some problems, and I can't tell you whether it was just ordering procurement issues with the government or if there's something internal with the company. But when you take a step back and you look at the trends, we do have this third miss to analyst expectations. Management from the company gave guidance for earnings this year to total $1.40 to $1.50 per share. 10 of the 11 analysts cut their estimates afterwards, lowering the consensus estimate to $1.36. So management gave guidance calling for $1.40 to $1.50. Analysts actually lowered their estimates and said, well, we don't think that's attainable. And this is after the company has already missed expectations three times. So that's a negative trend there. When we look at margins since 2009, both on a gross and an operating basis, we've seen those numbers come down. Looking at some of the analyst notes afterwards, it seems some analysts are saying, well, some of this was due to cuts in government spending. There'll be an increase in terms of commercial spending. But I think when you look at the trends are pretty negative. And I do have to ask, at what point do analysts start throwing in the towel and start saying, as much hope as we give the stock, as much optimism as we give the stock, it's just not meeting it, and it's time for investors to move on. And I have to think that the company continues to disappoint. That date's going to come sooner rather than later.
So if we're going to finally see this disappointment, has it been building? Is it bigger now than it was in February, or is it the same disappointment you called in February, just basically delayed 6 months?
You know, I think it's delayed 6 months. I think it's been building from a sense that we're continuing to see these negative trends, but the valuation isn't dramatically different from now from where it was 6 months prior on a trailing basis. What's interesting, if we look forward and say, okay, well, analysts are more optimistic at the future, well, let's look at valuations going forward. Based on 2014 estimates, the stock is trading at 24.7 times the consensus estimate. Its PEG ratio, which looks at forward growth, that's at 1.8, and fair value is considered 1.0. So I think relative to what analysts are projecting right now, the stock's still overvalued on those metrics.
This stock has sort of defied catalysts. So normally we're looking at something saying, here's why it's going to go down. Well, we've got the reasons, but this stock has defied catalysts. Is there finally a catalyst?
Yeah, like I said, it's hard to pinpoint one exactly. Some of these analysts will just take a look at the stock and throw in the towel on it. But I just have to think that's coming closer. And whether or not, you know, there's a negative reaction to the stock, should the market start hitting some bumps in the road later this month or in September, or if we have to wait perhaps for third quarter earnings or possibly even fourth quarter earnings to come out and disappoint, it's hard to pinpoint. But I do think since the stock has lagged the S&P 500, there's little reason to expect that that trend won't continue. And I do think you're looking at this downside where people at some point are going to look at the valuation, look at the company's inability to even meet expectations. And I think at some point we're going to see that priced in.
So it's FLIR Systems, ticker symbol FLIR. It was the sell of the week in February. And the point here is that Charles wasn't necessarily wrong. He was early. Still lagged the S&P 500. It's a laggard, but he sees a lot more downside potential. That's why it's the sell of the week. The buy of the week was WR Berkeley. That's ticker symbol WRB. And the guest of the week this week and every week is Charles Roteblatt, editor of AAII Journal, author of Better Good Than Lucky, and the only one who joins us twice each week. If you want more information, follow him on Twitter. He's at Charles R. AAII. Go to AAII.com. Charles, look forward to doing it again next week.
I do as well.
We've just gotten started on the Wednesday, August 20th edition of Money Life. The big interview is next when Money Life continues right after this message.